it.
Under the microphones,
yes.
On a hard chair.
There. This. This.
Get some sort of, get some sort of table.
Fuck. You ever work construction?
I did painting. Yeah. And yeah, I sort of know your right hand, so keep that there for you. And large ashtray.
Yesterday, a guy, we were building a store just south of DePaint.
Okay.
And the guy yesterday took a piece of wood about this big in his chest off a table saw.
Ooh.
And,
I hope he didn't pierce.
No.
Okay.
He just hit him in the ribs and, I mean, he's fucked up.
Okay, yeah, that can hurt.
But he's a stubborn working guy, right?
Uh-huh.
No way he's going to the hospital.
No, uh-uh.
We tried and tried and tried and, that's not happening. All it means is, you gotta drink a lot of beer with him. That's
yes.
So.
Okay.
Yesterday must have been, seven pitchers of the Biftec after work. And today, because today he's going home. So I'd be going home. So it's, I come out and say, I'll be a pitcher.
Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shit's going well.
Mm-hmm.
The RBC thing sounds good.
Yes.
A bank.
So he gets mad, still one of your cigarettes?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay.
He takes many of them.
Over the course of the major.
And you get a little spread in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Personally, my favorite line in that is, not everybody hates me.
I certainly toot your horn for a bit.
Thank you. And if I remember correctly, you had initially emailed me because yours was the email that said, I've just gotten turned down by somebody else for the gazillionth time.
Universally turned down. Yeah.
Okay.
So really you as the initial, yeah, we'll do a show.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Cool. You got a special place in my heart.
That's really no problem whatsoever. There, then. Dealing with logistics.
Yep.
And this stuff may or may not make it into the final transcript, because yes, just to let you know, the way these interviews work, I am recording everything right now. The basic ideas you can see I've way prepared.
Yep.
I have tons of notes with me.
Yep.
my basic idea is to have a sort of more of a conversation about your art than a straight on fixed interview. A friend of mine works at CJD, and he has this line which he uses, which he says is like the Larry King style of interview.
Okay.
Which is basically, I don't know nothing about your stuff. Let me talk to you. If you make it interesting, then whoever is listening to it
will
be interested as well.
Okay.
From previous experience as well, I'm slowly getting comfortable with it. More people have told me that the interviews I have up on the blog are wicked cool.
Yeah.
They tend to run, I don't know, 10,000-15,000 words. They are a tough slog to read through.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, every now and again, I realize I end up talking too much, and then I start shutting up and say, no, you are the subject.
Yep.
Yeah, you were the subject of the interview, not me. But yeah, I just spoke with Zev. His show is starting 25th of August. Tentatively going to the 2nd of October. I suddenly decided while I was talking with him, I like this idea of 6-week shows about 2 weeks. Since we had discussed, if you take advantage of stuff, then actually we don't have much of a choice. Let's hope that there's no holidays on that weekend of the 13th, 14th, 15th.
That's perfect.
And then I would like you to go either to the 26th. Or which one? The 27th of November or the 4th of December. Basically, the choice on that is dependent on, there's this guy, Dan, who runs this gallery called Label Gallery out in Winnipeg, that he wants to put on some sort of touring show. I've said, yeah, bring it on, and he's going to be bringing me for sometime in December.
Okay.
And at which point, if he suddenly says, I can't get to you before like the 10th, then at which point I'll say, okay, you're going to the 4th. If he says, I'm bringing it in for the 1st, then we won't take your stuff down for the end of November.
Because I'll probably have a show in Vancouver is running December. So, mm-hmm. So as soon as I know from you, it's all good.
So yeah, there. Yeah, so briefly that, man. You got a heck of a fall.
And that's like, I go to Halifax for this RBC thing on the 6th of October. I go to Toronto for the 13th of September. So.
Okay.
A big, huge travel budget. $800 to go to Toronto for 3 days.
Okay, are they giving you cash or are they waiting for receipts?
Cash. They send me checks.
Oh, very cool.
They say if you can book it cheaper, you can keep the difference. So they give me $750 to go to Halifax for 1 day. I mean, granted, Halifax, I've got to get a plane ticket for that. For the Toronto one, I'm like, oh, I said to my girlfriend, I'm like, you want to go to Toronto? So.
Mm-hmm. They, on one side, nice to see that they are supporting Canadian art. It's on the other hand, you see the flavored use of the money that they're doing. Because if you're getting $800 to go to Toronto for 4 days and $750 to go to Halifax for 1 day, imagine how much they're giving Mark Mayer to do the same damn thing.
No, that's and this is, I mean, the perspective in this is because I'm all, you know, I wrote. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this means your art's good. And I'm like, no. This means that the Royal Bank of Canada thinks that my art...
No, it's not the Royal Bank of Canada.
It's the jurors
jury.
That they hired.
Yeah, besides Mark Mayer, who else are the jurors?
Rene Boulin.
Okay.
And I didn't... I'm looking at the Eastern Canada ones. For Western Canada, I recognize more names. For England, Peter Penny,
I recognize him.
And much other ones.
I really should have done at least a little bit, but it's been dealing with membership and stuff like that. I had a freaking clue. I got the books and hadn't even cracked them open. But so yeah, actually, to now officially start the interview since we already launched into the RBC mm-hmm. stuff, why'd you decide to enter it? Especially given the track record of you getting turned down and door slammed in your face every which way but loose.
Truth be told, I mean, they had a really slick way of entering, you know, because it was all internet stuff. So the amount of work that I had to do to enter was minimal. I mean, I had JPEGs of three paintings. They asked for that.
Okay.
And so it was, and then they wanted blocks of text. One was describe your process, and the second one was describe how your process is special, some shit like that. And I had enough text to cut and paste it with other files. And, mm-hmm. And I had mentors. I had lots of friends who did, and they all... Well, one last year, John Eisler, he got to the level that I'm at, the finalist. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of... I mean, it was so easy to enter.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, I was at that point. It was basically the same point where I came to talk to you. Everyone's rejecting me. I might as well apply for lots of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the difference? Yeah. I mean, what, 10 more rejection letters?
Okay, had you ever applied before?
No.
Okay.
That's
Do you know any of the previous winners?
None of the winners, no. Okay. I know, like I said, one finalist from last year. No, one of the winners, Chris, I can't remember his name. He's from Calgary, I think it was 2 years ago. I knew who he was. He went to school at the same time as me.
Okay.
He owns a furniture shop in Calgary, so I recognized his name.
Okay. Where's his career now?
No idea. My friend, it's really funny because all the painters that I know, that I respect, I mean, John Esler and Patrick Lundy in this year as well. I mean, both of them finalized last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a funny one. It's really, I'm like, all right, you keep painting for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to move paint around. So they get 400 applicants. You get picked from that.
Okay. No, they're the reason I asked in terms of where their careers and stuff like that. Because although right now you are reacting like, ooh, this is wicked cool.
Yeah.
And so on. There, it's one of my things is that how Canadian art doesn't get any respect. And it's like now realizing that they've upped the prize money. So the winner gets $25,000.
Other two get 15,000.
The winner of the Turner Prize gets $50,000. And at which point you compare these, and there's no way that I'm thinking that they have any hope in hell of getting half the amount of publicity that the Turner Prize gets.
That's true.
And although you like seeing them change stuff, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe they got a new PR firm doing stuff. But that's why I come back and say, okay, you knew that, you knew somebody who was a finalist 2 years ago. Where's their career? And that is the one thing that's not to.
Well, I'd say, I mean, with John, a big one, the famous, he was already doing well.
Mm-hmm.
He already had representation, at least in Calgary, at the Hall of Fame Gallery. And he's a friend of mine, one of my favorite painters.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on my list to call to find out what to look out for.
Okay.
But if this was the only thing coming up in the fall,
mm-hmm.
it'd be eradicated anything than this with two solo shows
mm-hmm.
following it. I'd be a basket case about this more so
mm-hmm.
if this was the only thing happening.
Okay.
It's this is my one big chance.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, I view it because this came after the show here, and after
mm-hmm.
the show I had in Vancouver. This is a really nice way of promoting those two shows.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the one here with you. I mean, it's because it's still Eastern Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to Toronto, I go to Halifax, and go, where can we see your work? I go, conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
There's
and
the show.
It just so happens, Mark Mayer is likely to show up while you're
yeah,
stuff is
that's
up.
A fine, that's a fine iron. Well, iron, yeah. But a fine coincidence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's, I mean, this is not the biggest thing happening in the fall. This is one painting. And that's everyone's like, oh, this means they really love your work. It's like, no, this means they really love that wooden painting.
Which painting is
it? It's titled "You're Lazy, So Nothing Can Stop You from Sleeping." And it's one I finished in November, last November.
Okay.
So it'll be a year old when it's shown.
Okay. And how would you describe it?
I know the dimensions. And, 36 by 52, tall. It's lengthwise. It's probably it's the first big piece I did in Montreal, and it was a shift from, because it was the biggest shift I made from working in grid pattern composition
mm-hmm.
To something which was more organic, where there's no masking, there's no. And it's also really evident that it's as much subtractive sort of painting,
mm-hmm.
removal of paint, as it is application of paint.
Okay.
There's lots of sections which are removed as much as the sections are poured. And it was a long thing to do.
How long did it take?
It was a 3-month painting.
Okay. How thick is it?
It's, well, compared to, I mean, very recently, because I have spray foam paintings are now 6 inches deep. But previous to that, I mean, and it was also, I mean, it is a major piece in my head as far as my painting goes, because it is, like I said, the first big piece I did in Montreal, but also first one where I was reapplying sections which stick out from the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And first one where I recognize.
So when you say reapply sections, you take stuff off and then put it on someplace else?
Yeah, this was.
Okay. Yeah, once you
the parts which I would remove
mm-hmm.
Would wind up getting thrown onto a piece of plastic or somewhere
mm-hmm.
or on the floor or whatever, and they become crumpled pieces of paint, basically half dried, half wet,
mm-hmm.
and then I just grab them and stick them back onto the paint.
Okay.
And yeah, actually in that one it's really evident because it's partly covered by metallic pigment, so
mm-hmm.
it shines, and it's also I think the first painting since I was here that I went back into high gloss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing that I'm finding is really weird is in the past, say, 3-4 months, I've become very aware of just how much high gloss painting is out there.
Yeah.
And initially, when I was first seeing it, I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And now it's just everybody and their mother's doing it. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, is it that this is flavor of the month, or is it that this actually makes them look good? And I've seen in a bunch of things where it's like with Peter Krause, where he's got, I think I might have mentioned to you, where he's got like 6 inches of stuff that almost looks like a pane of glass on top of his painting.
Okay.
It just did not work.
Yeah.
And then where we went back to see Philip Bottenberg's show, where he had had a show here, and at the time I was talking about how much gloss he had on, and then realizing in comparison, it's chintzy.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so I still got to work at how I feel about that and what is actually driving it. Saying, like, people ask, is there like a Montreal style? I don't know, because I haven't been to Toronto, but at least as far as I can tell, everybody's using glass.
And that's I would judge for you place in that. I mean, it's
all those shiny stuff.
It also hides well. and not that I'm sticking. I mean, I'm certainly not the originator of high gloss. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as for a Montreal thing, I don't know any other painters.
A white man.
Period.
Okay, I know a bunch who are using high gloss, and one thing just as far as mulling ideas in head as far as showing, it's one thing that I did with Phillips that I now can actually explain this stuff like that is actually direct lighting on it.
Yeah.
So that when you look at it, there is this sort of like glare that's coming at you that you then move around when as you're moving around to view it, it's the glare moves and it becomes part of the painting. Cool.
But you have that too at the, even contemporary here, if you would see that real felt, the big one they have, the black one. It's always been something with the lighting on it, it's always made you go,
but there, it's the museum, it's their lighting, as far as I can tell, they always miss the upper.
Miss hot spots.
They miss the upper right hand corner, those are cold spots, and somewhere about, recording's not going to be able to get my hand motions. But yeah, then their hot spots and so on. I have high hopes for the museum.
Going and seeing that real bell, I mean, it's you can't help but look at that and start thinking about gloss.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the way that they lit it. Every bump on that painting, in those hot spots, you see it. Mm-hmm. You move around and but it's also that. I mean, if you see any high gloss painting, it's hard not to go and get excited about it. I mean, as you've seen, I've also tried to do matte stuff, and I love the ones I've done like that. Mm-hmm. But it's always vacillated between.
Although there, I'd be thinking with which one? At least what I've seen, because you're talking about grid-based stuff, and I realize I don't think I've ever seen a grid-based painting.
Older stuff.
I've realized.
This is pre-before I came to Montreal.
There, also be thinking in terms of like matte stuff. It's like Janice's stuff, which is over there.
Yeah.
In terms of. If you were to incorporate other, sand, something like that, that then gives a texture. Because, I've commented about how I'm not a big fan of your matte stuff.
Yeah.
Howdy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good, yourself?
Not bad, not bad at all. You coming in to look at the art?
I guess I am, yeah.
Cool.
I've never been in here and walked by, but I'm done.
Okay, well, hopefully, and you bring a posse too.
It's great space.
Thank you very much.
Are you Zeke?
Yes, I am Zeke. And you are?
Tina.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. This is Will.
Hi, Will. Oh, I've met you before. You're from Calgary, right?
I am from Calgary, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be at Stampede Breakfast on the 16th.
Oh, shit, yeah. I think I'm starting earlier actually, because it doesn't start till 11, so I'm like,
I know.
What about 5 o'clock in the morning?
That's, I heard that. Yeah, that's not the Hungarian tradition.
No, that's, I'm used to Stampede Breakfast. They crack the vodka at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think they were doing Montreal French style.
Keeping it soft this year, next year.
It's just like Montreal.
No, to explain, right now I'm in between shows.
Okay.
And so this is a retrospective of 9 artists that previously had exhibitions here.
Okay.
And if you have any questions, I can answer them. If you want, I can start foaming them at the mouth about any and all of them. Each one is better than the next.
What's this space called?
Zeke's Gallery. And yeah, actually, I gotta take it back. That stuff, he hasn't shown at the gallery. Although, well, no, it's there. This is the confusing thing. I'm positive that's street art. My girlfriend and any number of other people who have driver's licenses are saying, no, that's by the city. And I look at it and I say, no, the city's not going to do something like that. But I've talked with people who have cars and they say, no, I'm not going to be paying. Like, top one up there, they're put it up on posts and stuff like that. No, I'm not parking there. I don't want to risk getting a ticket.
That's right.
Uh-huh, and I'm saying, hello, it's art.
So does he put it outside on the streets?
Yeah, uh-huh. No. What you do is you buy it. Although actually, I can't sell it because it's street art. But it's, you make one like that yourself. You put it right, you put it up on the street post nearest your house.
People
then,
do that already.
Parking
space.
Uh-huh, and then you park there yourself.
Yeah.
So you guys just wandering around. Pulling around, which one of you is the out of town?
we both are out of towners, but
right
we've lived here for.
Okay.
You ever be 15 years?
No, because it's very rare that four women come in to the gallery all at once, and which by knowing how I deal with people coming in from out of town, let's go see these galleries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And so then it's which one die. You can't miss the Gange Brass Band tonight.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They're a brass band from, if I remember, Benin. And hello, when was the last time you saw an African brass band for free?
Yeah, so it's down
the down the Jazz Festival. I think it probably is the one that's on in between the Maisonneuve and President Kennedy.
Yeah.
And like about 7 o'clock or so. So go and still get home and get your boots.
Thanks.
No problem. Okay. See you later. And then also, which one? As far as, one other thing as far as, which one? Getting to art. You know about Powerhouse up the street?
Yeah, they moved. When did they move there?
Last summer.
Oh, last summer at home?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you've been there already?
Well, went by yesterday, but it's closed until next week or something.
Okay.
It has a sign on the door saying closed from 29 until.
They take vacations? Jesus, lucky steps.
You guys are slaving away here.
It's a rough word.
See you later.
Bye.
Nah, that's one of the things that scares the living Jesus out. And she says, it's a good thing you like booking shows because you can only like be a gallery with no shows for so long.
Yeah.
And I realize it has been, we're now pushing 7 months without a show.
People still walking. But that's, this is your comment about how often people go to our gallery. Every 7 months.
However, the topic is your art. I think I remember it. One comment was, I hadn't seen any good paintings. For the general public that will be reading this or hearing this, how did you get into art? And I think I probably asked this before, and
you
now
did.
I'll actually have to read this and maybe remember.
I think your question initially was, the question I remember was, how long ago I painting?
No,
that's
okay.
The one. How did I get into art?
Mm-hmm. Don't feel obligated to answer it. You can't.
No, it's just I'm reticent on it. Into capital A art by going to art school.
Okay. What, then
no, because I was making shit. I got into art school based on making shit. Painting and art, that's two different questions.
Okay.
Because. You know, I got into art school. I there was no drawings or paintings in my portfolio to get into art school. It was photography and mail art mostly,
mm-hmm.
and sound art. Those were the three things.
And then you're gonna like the Zeb stuff.
Yeah,
because there it's you look at the pictures, they're sort of there.
Yeah,
and the text is sort of there.
Yeah,
except it's gonna be phone number right underneath each one.
Yeah,
called phone number.
That's the shit I loved.
That was text recited to you.
No, and that was with art making. That was the first stuff. I was sending razor blades to the mail and freaking people out.
Okay.
Hold on.
Zeke's? Howdy. Yes, it is. Howdy, how you doing?
Very, very well.
Yeah, Veronica, she is the money queen, a.k.a. the fundraiser, a.k.a. the membership coordinator. And at which point, I gave her my entire mailing list and said, go call these people, because we have a kick-ass membership thing designed to separate you from any excess cash you might have so as to support the gallery. And so then my question would be, since I can talk for her, you got any excess cash?
No problem.
Although there, if you say not really, I see a way in.
At which point, flip them upside down.
You should be saying either no. Or conversely, would you like more information about the membership packages? There, I can, which one? And to be brutally honest, I'm not taking this personally. Feel free to say no, I don't have the money, no, I don't like what you're doing, don't want to support it, and there's no problem whatsoever for any way or shape that you say no. However, if you give me an inch to get a yes out of you, I'm going to take that. And so, yeah, if you'd like me to... Well, there, the membership packages go from $50 up to $10,000. Cool! That means I get to take you out for lunch. It's called the, Pack the Arrow package. And I get to take you out for lunch and I pay. Mm-hmm. No problem there. It's from my perspective and from Veronica's perspective. It's the sort of thing of, basically, the more people we ask, the more yeses we will get, and it's any individual response is actually relevant to the whole process. So then I'll come back to the whole thing. I can either shut up and say, get off your back, or if you want, I can email you. I can mail you something. Okay. Okay. Nope. That I'm not expecting any, and I appreciate that actually you're still talking to me. How are things going? Hello, but I'm hustling you up for cash, and we've been on the phone for more than 30 seconds. Normally when people hustle me up for cash, I say, okay, thank you, but no, I'll speak to you later. First of all, I'm trying to visualize your email address because I'm not in front of you. Okay, shoot. A-L-I-K-A-S. Double L. Okay. Yahoo.ca. Cool. Okay. Oh, cool. Uh-huh. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it was tons of fun. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm in between shows, talking with... I got stuff up on the walls, which is basically a retrospective of, I think, what, about 12 of the artists that previously had exhibitions here. Right now I'm sitting down with one of the artists, booking out my fall schedule. Mm-hmm. No problem. You promised me a whiff of potential, maybe conceptual money. I'll blow him off.
Conceptual money.
No problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you later. Bye bye. Membership drives are very effective.
They work?
Yes. It scares the living bejesus out of me. Yeah. Because it was where, when it was just me, yeah. Yo, you want to give me money? Having somebody doing the thing that takes all the personal stuff out of it.
Yeah.
And then the thing that's absolutely, to my mind, phenomenal is my minimum membership is as much as a membership at the museum.
And it's working?
Yeah, we got 30 members so far. Barry, who is like in newer shoes and stuff like that, a little bit more established artist,
okay.
But nonetheless makes his rent by installing art and doing renovations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I might have some excess cash.
That might be good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, get back to you. The how of you getting into art. So you'd said that you had applied to art school.
Yeah.
And that your portfolio had been photography, sound art, stuff. We got off on a tangent there. But still, why? That would be the crux of it.